content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Anna Kogal from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from, well, we've got Kiplinger's, as well as I'm going to finish up what we started a couple of weeks ago, and that is the Wall Street Journal's special report on CORE. And with that, I'm going to start right off with words people use about retirement. What does life look like after your career is over? Men and women come up with very different answers. A survey asked 990 people to describe, quote, life after career. This chart shows how often certain words were chosen and by whom based on age and gender. So, for example, younger men, these were the words that they used, the percentage points of gender difference. So younger men would say cool, good, great, nice, love, death, work, comfortable, joy, home. All right. And let's see, what about older men? They would say friends, hobbies, travel, relax, lonely, stress-free. And how about younger women? They would say, most of them would say the word success, money, children, stability, complete, accomplished, vacation, family, fulfilled, adventure, content. And older women would say calm, satisfied, peace, easy, freedom, enjoy, time, volunteer, health. So pretty interesting. Okay, so what do they say about it? All right, to explore how people think about retirement, the MIT Age Lab asked 990 adults across the U.S. to come up with five words describing life after career. Their responses formed the basis of the accompanying word cloud, which is what I just read. The 4,759 answers that people provided consisted of 921 different words in all. Most striking, however, a mere 47 words, those shown in the chart, accounted for more than 60% of all responses. More about that in a moment. The size of each circle represents how often the enclosed word was proposed, while the color reflects how emotionally positive, green, or negative, red, a word is. The words are distributed vertically to show their prevalence among male and female participants. Placement along the horizontal axis represents the average age of the people who provided a word, younger to the left, older to the right. The ages of respondents as a whole ranged from 18 to 91. As to what it all means, the chart suggests that people's thoughts around life after career are largely positive and optimistic. Some demographic differences were observed. Older respondents were more concrete and more likely to choose words related to social interactions, for example, friends and lonely, and actions, for example, travel, hobbies, and volunteer. Younger respondents, in contrast, provided vague words, for example, good, great, and cool. Gender differences are striking. Younger men reflected ambiguity, with words ranging from nice to more dour terms such as death. By comparison, younger women were more optimistic and goal-oriented, providing such words as happy, accomplished, fulfilled, success, and complete. Many of the words favored by older men reflect familiar images of retirement. They used words like hobbies, travel, and relax. In contrast, some of the most popular words among older women were peace, calm, and time. Perhaps reflecting that women, beginning in midlife, often serve as the primary caregiver for children and elderly parents while shouldering careers. We were also struck, as noted, by how a relative few words dominated the respondents' thoughts about life after career, a period that often covers a full one-third of adult life. One possible explanation for this is that people's visions of retirement are channeled by the way retirement is portrayed in the media and the financial services industry. As an older man's view of life after work, often reflecting trite commercial images of endless beach walks and golf. Whatever the reasons may be, taken as a whole, the words respondents offered show there is not a clear vision of life after work. The ambiguities and often trite visions suggested by the words may themselves represent a barrier to saving and planning for life after a career ends. Retirement is likely to be the most expensive item any family will purchase. Yet, unlike anything else in life, it remains an elusive vision rather than a tangible product or experience that can be tasted, worn, driven, or lived in. And Dr. Coughlin is founder and director of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology Age Lab, a research group focused on the challenges of aging. All right, so what's up next? Second acts. A quiet retirement, snowboarding, skiing, and skating. A quiet retirement, okay? Janet Carr has been drawn to physically demanding and dangerous sports ever since she began springboard diving at 14. "If I don't scare myself three times a week, I'm not a happy person," she says. "I like the thrill and risk." Now 72, the retired phys ed teacher gets her kicks performing stunts, tricks, and routines year-round at snowboarding, water skiing, and figure skating competitions around the U.S. Miss Carr has ranked in the top three trick water skiers in her age group for about 20 years. "As a child, she dreamed of becoming a gymnast. I spent a large portion of my life being upside down in my yard and falling on my head," she says. Ultimately, she parlayed her enthusiasm for sports into a career teaching physical education at schools in Indiana and later Michigan. "Every half hour, 24 of my best friends would show up, and I would get to choose a game, and we would go play it," she says, referring to her students. "What's not to love about that?" At 50, Miss Carr was downhill skiing when she saw what fun all the young snowboarders were having in the terrain park, jumping, riding rails, and zigzagging. Skiers were not allowed to go there, but Miss Carr decided that that was where she wanted to be. 8 years later, she qualified in the 50 to 59 age group for the 2005 national competition held by the USA Snowboard and Free Ski Association, or USASA. Ultimately, Miss Carr decided not to go, she says, because she was still teaching and it would require too many hours away from school. But longing to be able to snowboard regularly, she retired from her job the following year. It was then her competitive streak went up a notch. At the 2006 USASA Nationals, she took second in two events in the women's 50 to 59 age group. The following year, she won her first national championship in the 60 and over age group. Specifically, Miss Carr competes in the half pipe, where contestants ride their snowboards upright and fast down the big U-shaped course, jump in the air, and turn and do flips in the process. Miss Carr's water skiing skills help her here, she says. To date, Miss Carr has won 15 first place, 4 second place, and 2 third place medals in snowboarding. She says she's thrilled with the respect that talented young athletes in the sport show her. She also has grown close to 2 fellow competitors in the women's 60 and over group. Miss Carr, who lives in Akron, Michigan, says she now enters roughly 8 competitions a year, counting all her sports. She snowboards in the winter, water skis in the summer, and skates all year round. To stay in shape, she trains daily and uses everyday activities to enhance flexibility. She takes the steps at her house, 2 at a time. And she does calf stretches and ankle flexibility exercises while waiting in line at the grocery store. These sports don't come without injuries. Miss Carr has suffered numerous hurts, including a broken collarbone, snowboarding, a broken wrist and knee and hip injuries while ice skating, and a fall while water skiing that resulted in a groin pull that lasted for 6 months. As an athlete, especially with my brutal sports, you go through different phases where your body can handle things and all of a sudden it can't, and you have to change, she says. She plans to compete as long as her body can still handle it. When it no longer can, she says, she will dance. I truly believe people wind up being good in a sport because they absolutely love what they're doing, Miss Carr says. The fun itself is what makes you dedicated. What's the fun you love? Do it. Okay, so now we're going to switch to Kiplinger's Money Smart Living. Reward yourself and spread the cheer. Scoop up big ticket items on sale. The holidays may take a bite out of your budget, but they're also a good time to find savings. In December, stores and restaurants offer enticing bonuses on gift cards, says Julie Ramhold, consumer analyst with DealNews.com. You might, for example, purchase a certain amount and get additional gift cards free. December is also a prime month to buy jewelry at 40 to 70% off. If you have a big ticket item in mind, take advantage of Black Friday and Cyber Monday sales. Almost every category you can think of will have something on sale, with deals abounding in clothing, shoes, electronics, and home goods. Could your toaster or blender use an upgrade? Around Black Friday, department stores sell small kitchen appliances at the deepest discounts you'll find all year. Redeem rewards. Looking for extra money to travel or shop during the holiday season? Take stock of reward points, miles, or cash back that you've accumulated with credit cards, as well as hotel, airline, and retail loyalty programs. Credit cards typically provide cash back as a statement credit, bank account, deposit, or check. You may be able to exchange points or miles for gift cards, retail purchases, say, using them directly at Amazon.com, or travel bookings. Snag a credit card bonus. Now is a good time to pick up a credit card with a generous initial bonus of cash back or points. One of our favorites, Chase Sapphire Preferred Visa, with a $95 annual fee, hands out 60,000 points if you spend $4,000 in the first 3 months of card membership. The bonus is worth $750 in travel redemptions through Chase. Also consider Capital One Venture Visa, $95 waived the first year, with a 50,000-mile bonus worth $500 in travel statement credits for spending $3,000 in the first 3 months. If you're loyal to an airline or hotel chain, check out its credit card, the Marriott Bonvoy Boundless Visa, $95, recently served up 100,000 bonus points worth roughly $800 for spending $5,000 in the first 3 months. and take a vacation. Now is the time to calculate how many paid vacation days you have left in 2019 that won't roll over to 2020. The U.S. Travel Association reports that 55% of Americans didn't use all their paid time off in 2018, compared with 52% in 2017. The average number of unused days in 2018 was 6.5, up from 6 in 2017. For less expensive flights, concentrate your search over the first 2 weeks of December. Kayak found that median round-trip airfares hover around $245 for the first and second weeks of December, but jump by more than $100 for travel the weekend before Christmas. For some high-end hotel deals throughout most of December and excellent value year-round, consider Mexico. Gabe Sagley of deal-finding site TravelZoo recommends the five-star Andaz Mayacoba Resort in Playa del Carmen, which recently offered a three-night stay starting at $495 plus 20% off dining and a $75 spa credit for select dates through December 23rd. To catch the beginnings of summer in Australia before the crowds arrive around Christmas, head down under in late November or early December. All right. ADGE Apartments in Sydney, an apartment-style hotel with units that sleep up to four guests, recently offered nightly rates starting at $143 for the first 3 weeks of December on TravelZoo. Don't let your loyalty program status slip, and hold on to those via airlines or hotels. All right. Now, show your appreciation. The end of the year is the ideal time to thank those who made your life easier, and a tip or gift is a nice way to do it. Tally a list of people who provide service to you on a regular basis, such as your mail carrier, cleaner, or caregiver for a loved one. Leave professionals who don't rely on or expect a gratuity, such as your financial advisor or doctor, off the list. Prioritize your tips based on your relationship and the frequency and quality of the service. Allow yourself enough time to stock up on fresh bills, gift cards, or knickknacks that show your appreciation, and to hand over your gratuities in person or by mail. You may need to dig a little to figure out the rules for tipping certain workers. For example, U.S. Postal Service carriers are prohibited from accepting cash, checks, or gift cards that can be used like credit cards. But a gift worth up to $20 is allowed. Daycare centers, schools, caregiving agencies, and nursing homes may also have rules governing monetary tips, in which case home-baked treats, group gifts, or thank you notes may be more appropriate. If you employ a senior care aide directly, consider tipping at least a week's pay. The same goes for a regular child care provider. For a housekeeper or cleaner, the cost of one visit is appropriate. That's also true for your hairstylist, unless you tip well all year. You can find suggestions for holiday tips in 16 categories at kiplinger.com/links/holiday tips. Whether or not you give a monetary tip to the people on your list, include a handwritten note expressing your appreciation. Okay, continuing with Kiplinger's, have the family money talk. Holiday get-togethers can be good times to lay the groundwork for future family money conversations. If your family gathering is on the small side, you may be able to find a relaxed time to discuss some details. With a larger group, or in a family where emotions or tension can run high, It's usually best to introduce the topic and plan to have more substantive discussions in the new year. Start by identifying the key people who should know about your plans and which aspects are most important for others to know, says Betsy Simmons Hannibal, a lawyer who writes about estate planning for NOLO.com. Talking to your family about how you plan to divvy up property and other assets can head off sibling squabbles and uncertainty. Even if you prefer not to provide specifics, it's important for your heirs to understand the basics of how they'll receive any inheritance, along with the reasoning behind your decision. You might, for example, explain that you plan to divide assets unequally among your children because one has a lower earning potential due to a health condition, say, or one has made a financial sacrifice to help you in retirement. As you review your decisions, make sure your will and beneficiaries listed on financial accounts are up to date. You should also broach the subject of what you'll likely expect from your family as you get older. Let your children, your adult children, or others who will be involved in your care know if you have a long-term care insurance policy, or if you will be relying on other resources or family assistance to cover costs as you age. To head off any legal or financial problems if an illness or accident occurs, make sure your family knows where you keep estate planning documents, including a will, powers of attorney for finances and health care, and any health care directives. Check in with anyone you've named as an executor or health care proxy to make sure they're aware of the responsibility and your wishes. If you're having this discussion with your adult children, ask about their plans as well. Pertinent questions include whether they've drafted a will or made updates since having children, and whether they have enough life insurance and long-term disability insurance. For more strategies, listen to our podcast with Knight, that's with a K, K-N-I-G-H-T, Kiplinger at kiplinger.com/links/family. Okay, and finally, an article from AARP, Money and Budgeting. Tech tools can improve your savings habits. All right, pick a mobile app that best fits your style. Tip yourself. How it works. Link your bank account to a separate tip jar account for rewarding yourself when you reach a goal. Upgrade to a paid version, and you can set up regular automatic tips. All right, what I liked about it, you don't need a debit or credit card payment for it to work, and the app isn't blindly automated. Instead, I could tip myself whenever and however much I wanted. Stay away if you're not a goal-oriented person or if patting yourself on the back feels like a contortion. Cost? Free for the basic version. All right, next one. Capital with a Q. How it works. Money automatically jumps from your everyday bank account into a new goals account based on the rules you pick. Each time you buy a latte, for example, another $4 goes to your emergency savings or an investment account. What I liked about it, I got rewarded for my guilty pleasures. Stay away if you're not into setting rules. Some folks might enjoy customizing the app's freelancer, spend less, and Apple Health rules, but not you. Cost starts at $3 per month. All right, Digit. How it works. Based on patterns in your spending, bills, and income, an algorithm determines how much you can safely transfer from your primary bank account into a Digit savings account, then does it for you. What I liked about it, You don't have to buy stuff or set rules for it to work. Plus, there's free money. After 3 straight months of using the service, you get a bonus in your Digit account. Stay away if you'd be unnerved by a computer making unexpected transfers out of your account, even though Digit says it will reimburse you if such a transfer causes an overdraft. Limit 2 occasions. Cost? $3 per month. And Acorns. That's A-C-O-R-N-S. How it works. The app rounds up each of your debit and credit card purchases to the next whole dollar amount, then siphons off that spare change into an investment portfolio. Upgrade, and you can add extras, such as a checking account with unlimited access to free or fee-reimbursed ATMs. What I liked about it? 2 weeks of spending money here and there would result in almost $5 socked away for the long haul. Money I would never have gotten around to investing otherwise. Stay away if you don't use plastic a lot or don't make any purchases. Cost starts at $1 per month. Okay, and we're going to end our December 18th Modern Maturity show with some words of wisdom for the holidays from your favorite books. Here's one. For it is good to be children sometimes, and never better than at Christmas. If more of us valued food and cheer and song above hoarded gold, it would be a merrier world. One cannot think well, love well, sleep well, if one has not dined well. And finally, you give but little when you give of your possessions. And with that, we have ended our program. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas. I will be on next Wednesday, Christmas. But enjoy the week beforehand in getting everything ready. All right. And take some time for yourself. Enjoy the quiet times of Christmas, maybe in front of a fire to warm you. All righty. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Anika Gal, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Make it a wonderful week. Happy holidays.